Good evening, friends. This is your host, Franz Weinschenk, welcoming you to another edition of Valley Writers Read. Well, we're all really in luck tonight because, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, for the very first time ever on our program, we're going to present a story written by a dog. Yes, it's written by a canine. That's right, you heard me correctly. The name of the author is I, Scooter. His owner, Oscar G. Williams, interviewed him for just this program and wrote out his stories. And so here now is I, Scooter.
And I said, Lord, I'm happy because I'm just walking my dog, singing my song.
My name is Scooter, but the rage today is to put an I in front of everything, hence I, Scooter. I was born in Fresno. I guess that makes me a valley dog. I met Mom and Dad when I was 28. I don't mean like people 28. I mean a dog's age of 28, which would be 4 years of people age. At the time I met Mom and Dad, I was in a dog orphanage. Somewhere I heard it was called the SPCA. I still wonder how I ended up at the orphanage. That happened a long time ago. You see, I had a mistress whom I loved dearly. She left home one day and never came back. These people I had seen occasionally visiting my mistress came in and took me to the orphanage. The place was full of yelping, barking dogs. I wasn't used to being around other dogs. They kept me awake half the night, but I tried to make the best of it. Once in a while, people would walk through and look and point at us. We were the last cage in the building. That meant that people coming in looking to adopt one of man's best friends got to us last. I thought it was likely I would spend the rest of my life there. One day, Mom and Dad came by and stopped in front of my cage. I was lying there watching them. I didn't say anything. There was another dog, a terrier, in the cage with me. He was jumping up on the front of the cage and barking his head off. Dad pointed to him and said something to Mom. Mom pointed to me and I heard her say, I like him. Mom asked the man who worked there if she could take me out of the kennel. He said, You sure can. The man opened the cage door. I was getting a little interested in what was going on, so I got up and moved over near the door. The man put a rope around my neck and handed the other end to Mom. She gave a little tug, and I knew she wanted to go for a walk. I hopped out of the cage and we all went outdoors. There was a sort of grassy atrium area between the buildings. It was so nice to be outside in the fresh air without all those yapping dogs. We walked the length of the building. I marched along with my head held high. I stopped a couple times to mark my territory. I just knew I had been adopted. My spirits were soaring. But to my dismay, Mom tried to guide me back to the building door. I didn't want to go in there again. I began to pull in the other direction. Dad laughed and said, he doesn't want to go back in. I pulled as hard as I could, but at 16 pounds, I couldn't pull Mom away from the door of the building. Dad picked me up, took me inside, and put me back in the kennel. The man took the rope off my neck and closed the cage door. I was heartbroken. I thought I was adopted when they took me out. Now I realize they just took me for a tryout. All kinds of questions flew through my mind. What did I do wrong? Why didn't they like me? Should I have acted more crazy, like the crazy terrier in the kennel with me? I was so unhappy. I just laid down and put my paws over my eyes so no one could see me crying. I heard voices approaching. The terrier in the cage began running around and around. I peeked out from under my paws to see what was going on. There stood Mom, Dad, and the worker man. The terrier began to have a fit. He was running around, jumping upon the cage and making a fool of himself. The worker man opened the cage door, and I assumed he was going to take the terrier out. I had been bypassed again. He walked over to me and picked me up. My heart began to beat faster. Could it be they were choosing me? He carried me out of the cage and handed me to Mom. He tied a rope around my neck. Mom put me on the floor. She said, Come on, boy. I didn't have to be asked twice. I followed closely at her heels as she led me out of the kennel area into the office area. Apparently, Mom and Dad had already made arrangements to take me out because they simply said goodbye to the people behind the desk and the worker man, and we went out the front door. There was no doubt this was one of the happiest days of my life. We strolled across the parking lot. I raised my head and tail high as I strutted along beside them. I had been adopted. I was free. Somebody wanted me. Our first stop was at the vet. The vet gave me a good once-over. I was a little concerned because I wondered if Mom and Dad would reject me if I didn't pass the physical, but I soon learned that wasn't a problem. The vet asked how old I was. Mom said the orphanage had told them I was 2 years old. The vet kept looking at my teeth. Finally, he let me close my mouth. He said, I am sure he's more than 2 years old. In fact, I put him around 4 or 5 years old. Mom and Dad looked at one another. Then Mom said, I don't really care how old he is. We've already bonded with him. That was a big relief. Mom told the vet I was their first dog. She wondered what they should start doing to train me. I almost gave a bark at that comment, but I kept my mouth shut. The vet laughed and said, "Don't worry about training him. He'll get the two of you trained." We left the vet's office and walked into the store portion of the building. We bought a leash, a collar, and a bed. Mom and Dad started to fill the shopping basket with food. I began to wonder if they had more pets at home. I weigh 16 pounds wringing wet, and it was going to take me at least a year to eat all that food they bought. The next day, they took me to the groomer. I am a mixture of poodle and Lhasa. I look more Lhasa than poodle. My fur had grown quite long since I was last groomed. Mom and Dad didn't know anything about grooming techniques. I could hear them discussing the options with the groomer. Finally, they settled on a number 7 cut. I didn't know what a number 7 was, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it could have been a lot off or a little off. Depends on which way the scale went. I soon found out. The groomer almost scalped me. When Mom and Dad picked me up, I could see the surprised look on their face when they saw me. I was mortified because when we got in the car, they laughed all the way home. I was not amused. They did say I would not have to suffer another number 7 again. When we got to my new home, I went throughout the whole house sniffing out every room. At least I thought I had checked every room. When it was time to go to bed, I found out that we had an upstairs. I had never seen an upstairs before. Mom and Dad tried to coach me up the stairs, but I just couldn't understand what they wanted. Dad carried me up the stairs. When I followed them down the next day, I caught on to what stairs was all about. We had a huge backyard. It has a jacuzzi, a fish pond, a walking path, and lots of trees. I found out the fish pond was called a koi pond. I couldn't take my eyes off the fish slowly swimming back and forth. There was a waterfall at one end. One evening, shortly after I moved in, Dad and I were in the backyard. Dad was sitting on a bench behind the hill the waterfall was on. I kept walking back and forth, watching the fish. I decided to go to the other side of the pond. I started to walk across the waterfall. About halfway across, I started to slip. I tried to jump off the waterfall, but my feet slipped out from under me. I started sliding toward the pond. I tried to stop sliding. The more I struggled to stand up, the further I slid. I couldn't stop myself. I slid into the pond. I never had done any swimming before, but boy, I started doing a mean dog paddle. I was paddling for my life. I looked up and saw Dad standing by the pond. I dog paddled toward him. He reached down and picked me up out of the pond. He took me into the house and started drying me with a towel. He was laughing so hard he almost couldn't tell Mom what had happened. He told her he heard me fighting to keep from slipping into the pond. He really got a kick out of telling Mom that I didn't go splash. Rather, I kind of went splosh as I slid into the water. He said he got up from his bench and walked around the hill to see what had happened. He said I looked like a drowning rat swimming for my life. Mom started laughing. I was so embarrassed. Mom and Dad said I was lucky Dad was outside or I could have drowned. They agreed not to let me go into the backyard unless one of them was watching me. They didn't have to do that. I swore I would never go near that waterfall again. A few days after the pond incident, Mom and Dad were frolicking in the jacuzzi. I was meandering around the yard, stopping to look at them occasionally. Dad called me over to the jacuzzi. He hopped out and picked me up. As he climbed back into the water, he said to Mom, "You didn't see Scooter swimming in the pond. Watch this." He put me down in the water. I was swimming for my life again. Mom said, "Don't do that. I know dogs can swim." She picked me up and sat me back on dry land. I took off running around the yard, barking, "Bad Dad, Bad Dad." Dad was laughing. Mom continued to scold him. It didn't take long to dry off in the 100-degree heat. Our large backyard attracts all kinds of critters. There were cats roaming around our yard all of the time. Dad and I play chase the cat games. He will say, "Scooter, there's a cat in your yard." I get ready and he jerks the sliding door open. I shoot out the door and the cat always takes off like a bullet. Zip, it runs to the fence and zoom, it goes up and over the fence. I don't know what I would do if a cat if I ever caught one. One day I was just looking out the sliding glass door at the kitchen. Dad was sitting at the dinette table with his back to the yard. All of a sudden, the biggest bird I have ever seen dropped out of the sky and landed right by the fish pond. He was in my yard, eyeing my fish. I went ballistic. I barked and jumped up on the glass door. Dad had his back to the yard and didn't pay too much attention at first. He finally looked around and said, "It's an egret." He dashed off to get his camera while I kept barking at the intruder. Dad shooed me back. He tried to quietly open the door to take a picture of the egret, but as soon as he got it open, the big bird looked our way, stretched its wings, and took off. Over the years, I have seen a number of heron in the yard. I have seen the small ones as well as the big ones about the size of the egret. Most of the time, Mom and Dad aren't home, so I just scold them through the glass door. The heron problem got so bad, Dad had to cover the pond to keep the heron from eating all of the fish. When the fish got larger, he took the cover off. I may not be a great white hunter, but I have had my day. I have caught 2 possums. One night, Dad let me out to do my potty thing before going to bed. I could smell a possum in the plants along the walkway. I went into the plants and I found it. I started barking and jumping at it. It started slowly walking toward a tree. I stayed right on its heels. I didn't touch it, but I let it know that it had better get out of there. Dad pushed his way through the plants and picked me up. He saw the possum climbing up the tree. He said, "Hey, little guy, you don't want to mess with that thing." He didn't know how lucky that possum was. One other day, I was wandering around the backyard. I smelled a possum. There was a possum under the steps to the bridge. I went under the steps after the possum. I was giving that possum a tongue-lashing when Dad reached under the bridge, grabbed one of my back legs, and pulled me out from under the steps. He put me in the house and closed the door so I couldn't get to that possum. I guess Dad didn't want the possum under the bridge either. He got a hose and ran water on the steps until the possum came out and climbed a tree. Another lucky possum got away without suffering my wrath. Mom was easier to train than Dad. It wasn't long before I had Mom feeding from my hand. She often sat on the floor and handed me each morsel of food. I always took it very gently so as not to nip her fingers. When she was eating her dinner, she always gave me a couple of bites. This wasn't a problem, except when Mom traveled. Dad didn't like being a tourist, so he stayed home quite often when Mom traveled to foreign countries. She has gone to Costa Rica and just about every country in Europe. One of her trips to Europe was for 22 days. I probably lost a couple of pounds when she went on that trip because Dad didn't feed me by hand and he didn't give me any treats from his plate. I tried my best to train him, but to no avail. In the evening, he fixed his and my dinner. He usually went to sit in front of the television and eat his dinner. He placed my dinner bowl on the paper in front of the couch. I ignored it. I sat right in front of him between him and the television and stared at him as he ate his dinner. He acted like I wasn't even there. After he finished eating, he would usually just sit there and relax for a while. I would finally have to give up giving him the stare and go and eat my food. He knew the game he was playing. A couple of times after I ate my dinner, he looked at me with a grin and said, "Remember, buddy, I ain't your mama." It was pretty easy for me to train Dad and Mom to take morning and evening walks with me. When walk time came around, I kept going to and from the door until they got the idea. On my walks, I got to read the news other dogs had left. I also left some news of my own at a number of trees and mailboxes. I also pooped on those walks. I never pooped at home, in the house, or in the yard. I had to walk a little before I felt like pooping. Mom and Dad soon caught on and began carrying a pooper scooper. During those walks, we met a lot of neighbors. They got to know my name. When we walked up to them, they always greeted us with, "Hi, Scooter." I didn't say much, but I always gave them a big smile and a wag of my tail. Often they would pat me on the head. We got to know our neighbors so well that Mom and Dad gave a couple of neighbor parties. I was surprised by the amount of neighbors who showed up on our neighbor parties. I love these parties. I got so many pats and I sat on more laps than you can count. After all, I was a star of these parties because it was my walkies which led to these parties. We started a tradition which has been followed religiously throughout the years. After each walk, I get a milk bone. I assume this is my reward for walking Mom and Dad. After I get my buns clean, they give me a milk bone. If they should forget, I follow one of them around and make a pest of myself until one of them remembers to give me my bone. I usually eat it, but sometimes I choose to hide it. That's a problem sometimes because I don't want Mom and Dad to see where I'm hiding it. Often I will try to get them to leave the room by holding the bone in my mouth and whining as I walk around the room. The first time I did this, they thought I was sick and was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. Then they noticed I had my bone in my mouth and they realized what I was doing. They have not taken the clue and left the room. Now they just laugh at me until I give up and take my bone into another room to hide it. I have a lot of different places where I hide my bones. Sometimes I hop on the couch and push it down between the cushions. I put them behind the piano or a corner behind a piece of furniture. Sometimes I forget to go back and get my bones from their hiding places. The first time Mom and Dad had the house cleaned after I moved in, the cleaning person gave Mom a handful of bones she found in my hiding places. I also like to play hunt the bone game each night at bedtime. Each night Mom or Dad hides a bone in my bed. I always sniff it out. I often have to pull the pillow and towel out of my bed to find it, but I always find it. Once in a while, they forget to hide the bone, and I am just pulling everything apart looking for it until they realize they forgot to hide the bone. When this happens, one of them will try to distract me while the other one hides the bone. Mom got such a kick out of this, she wrote a little something which the Fresno Bee published. Here is what she wrote. Scooter only likes bones that grow in bed. We accidentally have trained our dog Scooter, a Lhasa poodle mix, to think that dog bones grow naturally in his bed. One night, as a joke, my husband decided to hide a bone in Scooter's bed. Scooter caught on quickly. Every night, he races up the stairs to the bedroom to find his hidden treat. If he gets to the bed before we can plant a bone, he'll sniff and carry on until we can distract him enough to hide one. He has often pulled his blanket out, even tipped over his bed looking for his bone. There must be something about having to work for your food, because Scooter will turn up his nose at the very same bones when they are offered to him. But the bones he digs out of his bed, he gobbles with gusto. I don't take any walkies by myself anymore. I took two walkies by myself and Mom and Dad got very upset. On a couple of very hot days, Dad left the back door to the garage open and the big door in the front of the garage slightly up so the air could circulate and keep the garage cooler. When Dad let me out in the backyard to pee, I found the back door to the garage was open. It's usually closed. I went into the garage and saw the big door slightly up. I pushed and pushed and finally was able to push under it into the driveway. I stood there for a moment, not quite sure of what to do with this newfound freedom. I decided to go for a walkie. I tried to follow the route Mom and Dad usually took on our walkies. The first time I went on a walkie alone, I was on my way home when Dad pulled up in the car and yelled at me to get in. I was a little reluctant because I was having so much fun, but Dad insisted, and I got in the car. He scolded me and told me how much I had worried them. The second time, I got out the same way I did the first time. I didn't waste any time. As soon as I got out, I took off. Dad found me again. Dad stopped leaving the garage doors open. Mom learned the hard way to use the leash on her walkies. Dad had warned Mom that I might take off without a leash, but she just scoffed at him. One day, shortly after she had recently had surgery on her knee, she took me for a walkie. She couldn't walk that fast, so I guess she decided I didn't need the leash. Along the way, I detected a strange scent. I took off like a rocket in search of the scent. Mom was yelling at me to come back, but I was on a mission. I ran up the street and turned the corner. The last thing I saw of Mom before I turned the corner was her trying to hop as fast as she could to catch up to me. I ran down the street seeking the scent. I made a mistake of turning into a cul-de-sac. I made the circle in the cul-de-sac and started toward the exit. There was Mom, hopping along on her good leg. I kind of felt sorry for her, so I let her trap me. She picked me up, hooked up my leash, and led me home. She reluctantly told Dad he was right about keeping me on the leash during our walks. When on our walks, I also meet the local dogs and cats in our neighborhood. There was Nikki down the street on the corner. She's a golden lab. When I first met her, she was about twice my size. Over the years, I have watched her grow until I swear she must be six times my size now. She is often in the front yard when we take our evening walk. She always comes over to exchange sniffs. Most cats keep their distance from me, but there are a couple cats in the neighborhood who must not know that I'm a dog. When this one cat is in the yard when we go by, it comes out to meet me. It walks up to me, smells my nose, and walks around me. I don't return the hello. When we walk on, it follows us for a while. Down the street on another corner is one strange cat. It's a young, spry cat. Sometimes when it sees us, it comes running across the street and starts to stalk me. It will run ahead of us and lie just off the sidewalk. When we pass by, the nut jumps at me and sometimes smacks me with its paw. I try to ignore it, and I just keep walking. Mom and Dad must like the cat's antics because I think their laughing encourages it. There is a Cocker Spaniel who lives a couple blocks away. It is usually out in the front yard in the evening. The first time we saw it, we were on the opposite side of the street from it. It started barking and came running down the driveway. When Dad saw it, he picked me up and faced the Cocker. All of a sudden, it put on brakes, tried to turn around, and skidded on its side. It jumped up and ran around the house. Dad almost died laughing. I noticed that if the dog's master was in the front yard when we passed by, it really puts on a show barking and jumping towards us. Its master yells at it and it stops putting on the show, but it still stands next to him and glowers at us. But when its master isn't around when we come into sight, it slinks around the house or into the garage. Mom, Dad, and me do a lot of things together. I am one lucky dog because where they go, I can go. When we travel, we usually stay at a hotel where I can stay with them. But sometimes I have to sleep in the car. That's not so bad, even in the winter. I have one of my sweaters and I snuggle down in my bed. I am as warm as can be. Speaking of a wardrobe, every well-presented dog should have an appropriate wardrobe. I have an overcoat to just throw on for a quick trip outdoors. I have a couple of sweaters and a raincoat. They like to play golf. We travel all over California to play golf. We have been on golf courses in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, San Diego, Carmel, the San Francisco Bay Area, and Napa. We always take a cart. I ride on the golf cart most of the time, but on the three pars, the short holes, Mom lets me walk with her from the tee box to the green. It's a lot of fun when other golfers talk to me and give me a couple pats. At a course in Palm Desert, we met the course manager and his dog on one of the holes. His dog was a big guy. We gave each other the sniff and went our separate ways. Mom and Dad have a motorcycle and an airplane. When I became part of the family, we had a chopper. For the few of you who don't know what a chopper is, it's a motorcycle with the handlebars real high, the seat real low, and has big, loud pipes. They wondered how I would react to the loud pipes. Mom put me on the garage floor near the motorcycle. Dad started it up. Boy, was it loud! But it didn't scare me. I walked around the motorcycle checking out the tires. Mom says, "He's not afraid of it." Dad moved the motorcycle out of the garage. Mom got on the back seat and Dad gave me to her. She sat me on her seat just behind Dad. We were off on our first ride. Dad just rode around the neighborhood to see how I would react. I loved it. After that first ride, Dad and Mom took me on lots of rides. When we were going along, I stick my nose out in the breeze and get all kinds of interesting scents. What I really like is the attention I get sometimes when we are sitting at a stop sign or a red light. When there are kids and ladies in the car next to us and they see me standing there between Mom and Dad, they start waving, pointing, and laughing. I wag my tail and grin at them. The strange thing is that if men are in the car and see me, they don't react. I smile and wag my tail, but they don't smile, wave, or laugh. They just look at me and turn away as if I wasn't there. I guess that's what it's called, the macho thing. Dad got rid of the chopper because Mom told him we were just too uncomfortable trying to ride the chopper long distances anymore. Dad agreed because he said he had been getting a sore butt and a stiff back riding the chopper. He told Mom it must be an age thing. He went right out and bought a Honda Goldwing. Talk about luxury. It's so quiet you can't even tell it's running, and that big, cushy back seat is to die for. We travel in our airplane quite often, too, but I really don't get anything out of flying. Sometimes I sit on Mom's lap and look out the window, but there is nothing to see, and I can't stick my head out in the breeze. Before Dad met Mom, he owned a World War II trainer. He said he often slid the canopy back and flew with the cockpit open. Boy, I would have loved flying in that plane with the wind whipping by, giving me lots of tantalizing scents. But the plane Mom and Dad have now is closed up just like a car. Soon I get bored and I start to fidget. Mom gets the message and puts me on the back seat. I am usually sound asleep when we get where we are going. I like it when we get to the airport where I can get out and explore the surroundings. Sometimes we drop into an airport which has a restaurant. I sleep in the plane while Mom and Dad have lunch. I always get a lunch treat when they return to the plane. Mom and Dad take me to the vet once a year for my physical and shots, but lately I have been seeing the vet more often than I like to. A couple of years ago, I started getting kind of stiff. Dad took me to the vet. The vet said I have arthritis. The vet put me on a medication, which he said is the doggy counterpart of Vioxx. Mom read an article about dogs and medication, which said I shouldn't take my arthritis medicine on a regular basis because it's not good for me. Now I only get it when they notice me limping. Last year I wasn't feeling too good. I just didn't have any energy. It was hard for me to just walk across the room. I was really struggling on our walkies. Dad got concerned and took me to the vet. The vet checked me all over and pronounced me fit. But then he said, I think we should take some x-rays. After the vet took the x-rays, he called us in to see them. Dad was holding me in his arms as the vet showed us his findings. He said, see this lung? It's half full of liquid. Scooter has pneumonia. The vet put me on antibiotics. In about 2 weeks, I was my old self. Speaking of old, Mom has mentioned more than once how my muzzle is graying. I have noticed that both Dad and me have been slowing down the past couple of years since I had the pneumonia. About the time I had pneumonia, Dad got a new knee. We used to walk blocks and blocks on our walkies. About 2 years ago, we cut our walks to just a couple blocks. Then recently, we cut our walkies to about a block. I must admit, I don't mind not walking Dad too much. I get kind of tired, too. I seem to stumble a little now and then because of my arthritis. One day, a neighbor yelled across the street to Dad. She said, hey, you and Scooter wobble just alike. She got quite a laugh out of her observation. Dad and me didn't see the humor in it. I don't see too well anymore because the vet said I had cataracts, but I could smell a cat or a possum a mile off. About the same time we cut our walking distance down, I began having problems getting up and down the stairs. I stumbled a couple of times going down and would have rolled all the way to the bottom of the stairs if Mom or Dad hadn't stopped me. I have really been struggling to get up the stairs at night. One night I tried to go up, but I couldn't get past the first step. I finally gave up trying and just stood there whining with my front paws on the first step. Dad carried me up. Mom and Dad have been carrying me up and down the stairs every night since then. I used to go downstairs in the middle of the night for a midnight snack or a drink. Mom and Dad close the bedroom door at night so I can't go downstairs. I guess it's no big thing because they put a feed dish and a water dish in the master bedroom upstairs. Since I can't see as well as I used to, Mom put a nightlight in the bedroom. It helps because I don't bump into things as much when I'm looking for my water or food dish. I still love to roam in the backyard because there are always so many scents to explore. There are possum scents from the night before, cat scents, and all kinds of birds. The things I like most about the backyard are the spots I can lie in the sun. The vet has warned Mom and Dad not to let me lay in the sun too long because I am a blonde and I'm subject to get a sunburn, especially now since I have lost so much of my fur. I feel a little more tired than usual today. I think I'll go out into the backyard and sunbathe a little. Dad let me out. I found a sunny spot to lie down in. After I've napped in the sun a while, I'm sure Dad will wake me and bring me back inside. Wow! What's going on? Where am I? There's this bright light hanging above me. I'm being drawn up to it. I look down and I see myself lying on the vet's examining table. Dad, Mom, and the vet are standing next to the table. Just as I enter the bright light, the vet said, I'm sorry. He had a stroke. He's gone.
That was I, Scooter, a memoir written by Oscar G. Williams. Okay, you can put those tissues away now. Remember, it was only a story. And such a delight it was. I'm sure Scooter's story resonated with anyone who's ever had a puppy or a kitty around the house. It's all about getting a pet at the pound, having the vet look it over, feeding it, going for walks, spoiling it, watching it in a backyard, taking it for a ride, and growing old with it. And all this time, you and I thought that we were the ones teaching our pets what to do, only to find out that things work out just about the exact opposite, inasmuch as the little darlings are really the ones that teach us. But we do have a confession to make. At the beginning of the show, we kind of fibbed to you a little bit, telling you that Scooter actually wrote that story when it was his master, Oscar G. Williams, who is the author. We thank him for such a wonderful original story. Friends, Oscar G. Williams has written two books. They are A Token View from Inside the IRS and Flying High. He's also been a guest writer for the Fresno Bee. Furthermore, he wants us to know that he feels his development in writing is partially due, at least, to the fact that he took writing classes from Bonnie Hearn Hill, a writer that we've had on our program many, many times. Once again, thank you, Oscar, for such a delightful story. Maybe you can get Scooter to write another one for us for next year. And so we come to the end of another edition of Valley Writers Read. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear tonight's or any other Valley Writers Read story again, just go online to kvpr.org and link up with archived audio. Next week, our author will be Valerie Schultz. In the meantime, this is your host, Franz Weinschenk, wishing you and yours a great life story until we meet again. Good night.
Valley Writers Read is a production of Valley Public Radio, produced by Don Weaver and Franz Weinschenk. Please join us again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for another edition of Valley Writers Read.